I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Start in verse 29 this morning. Mark, chapter 1, verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. You may be seated. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be gathered together in your house. We thank you for voices that you've given us, that we can lift up in praise and adoration of your greatness, of your grace, of your goodness, of your loving kindness, of your holiness. Father, thank you for this place of worship that you have drawn us to by your Spirit. Father, we may be just a few in number, but Father, you have promised that wherever we gather together in your name, there you are in our midst. And Father, we thank you for gathering together with us this morning. We thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to once again fellowship with you. Father, we pray now as we look at your word, help us to see Jesus for who he is. Help us to love him for who he is. Help us to rejoice in who he is. Thank you for sending him, your one and only Son, into the earth to die for me and to die for your people. And that he rose again from the dead, that we all who are in him might also be raised from the dead one day. Thank you for the hope that you've given us, that there is life beyond the grave. There is life beyond death, and that you have given us eternal life, which will never be taken away from us. Father, we just pray now that you would be with us in this time that we look at your word. We ask that you might be glorified in all things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to title this message this morning, The Gentle Healer. The Gentle Healer. We have been looking at the Gospel of Mark and Mark's account of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. We have seen already, and just know from our study of Mark and our reading of Mark, that Mark focuses on the ministry of Jesus. He focuses on what Jesus did. He focuses on Jesus as a servant of his people. How that Jesus came to preach, Jesus came to teach, Jesus came to heal, Jesus came to cast out devils. Mark shows us that he is a king, but he is a humble king. He is not a king who came and set up his iron throne to sit and have everyone bow down to him and pay homage to him and him rule as a authoritative dictator. He came and he was a humble king. He came to serve. He came to give his life, as he says, as a ransom for many. He came to die. He came to live a perfect life. So he came the first time as the humble king. When he comes again, he will come as the judge of all the earth. He will come as the righteous king. He will come as the holy king. He will come and he will sit on his throne at the great white throne. And he will judge all men and all women at that time. But he came the first time as the humble king, and he came as the gentle healer. This is what we love about our Savior Jesus Christ, is that he came and he dwelt with men of low estate. He came and he dwelt with those that were sick. He dwelt with those who were possessed of demons. He came and he dwelt with lepers. He came and he dwelt with those that were blind and those that were deaf. He came and he dwelt with those that were paralyzed. He came and he dwelt with those who, like we find in our passage today, who were sick with fevers and who had diverse diseases. Jesus shows himself as a servant who came to do his Father's will, and he was moved with compassion upon his people. So we saw that Mark started his gospel with John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was the prophet that was spoken of in the Old Testament that would prepare the way for the Messiah. He would be the forerunner of Christ. He came and it said of him that he would be a voice that was crying in the wilderness. We know that John dwelt in the wilderness and came forth preaching from the wilderness saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." John preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. He preached the gospel of repentance. He preached the need for repenting of your sins and believing the gospel. And it tells us that he was baptizing those that were confessing their sins, those that were being filled with the Holy Spirit and pricked in their hearts at John's preaching. He would tell them, "Come and be baptized as a witness, as an identification that you are turning from your sins. You are turning from trusting in your own righteousness, and you are looking for the Messiah to come, and you need his righteousness." He was baptizing in the Jordan River, preaching, pointing people to Jesus Christ. He says, "I am not the Christ, but there is one who is coming after me." He says, "Who is preferred before me because he is before me. He has always been." And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." He pointed people to Jesus Christ. Jesus was the subject of John's preaching and of his teaching. He pointed people to Jesus Christ, and Mark shows that. And then we saw how Jesus comes onto the scene when John is baptizing in the River Jordan. And Jesus humbles himself to be baptized, to identify with his people, to be submissive to the Father's will, to fulfill all righteousness, as he told John. Jesus humbled himself to be identified with you in his baptism. So if you have been baptized as a follower of Christ, you have walked in Jesus' footsteps, who also was baptized, not because he needed to repent of sin, but to fulfill all righteousness and to identify with his people and to fulfill his Father's will. And we saw that the Father was pleased with the submission and obedience of his Son when he spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Father was well pleased with what Jesus had done, how he had humbled himself and how he had been obedient to come and to be baptized to identify with his people. And the Holy Spirit, it said that the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended from heaven in the form of a dove and lighted upon him. And Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we saw how that the Spirit then led Jesus out into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and to be tempted of the devil. We saw on that occasion, we saw the power of the humble king. How that even at his weakest moment in the flesh, he was able to overcome all the temptations of the devil. Doesn't that give you encouragement that you can overcome temptations? If Jesus overcame the strongest temptations of the devil when he had fasted for 40 days, you can overcome the temptations of your flesh, no matter how strong that they are. You can overcome through Christ because he has overcome the greatest temptation. And so Paul would write to us and encourage us, there is no temptation but which is common to man, right? We're all tempted like Jesus was. He was tempted like we are, yet without sin. And he is able to succor those that come by faith to him, because he has withstood the greatest temptation that has ever happened. And he overcame the devil, not just by his own might, but he overcame him through the Spirit and through the Word of God. We know that every time Satan came with a temptation, Jesus came back with, "Thus saith the Word of God." It is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus overcame the temptations of the devil through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God, giving us that model that we also can overcome temptation, not in our own strength or in our own power, but through the Holy Spirit that he has given us and through the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. So Jesus overcame the devil, overcame the temptations in the wilderness, and then it says that he came in the power of the Spirit from the wilderness. He came in the power of the Spirit from the wilderness and began his preaching ministry in Galilee. He began to preach, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The time appointed has come." Remember the time that had been everybody had been waiting for the last however thousands of years, that was all pointing to this time, that was all proclaiming of the time of the Messiah. He said, "The kingdom of heaven, the time that the king has come down," he says, "it is here. The time is fulfilled. God has sent his son. The king has come." And he also preached, as John did, the need to repent of sin and unbelief and to believe in the good news, to turn from trusting in your own righteousness to save you, turn from trusting in the law to save you, turn from unbelief and idolatry and believe in me, believe in God's Son, God's remedy. And he began to preach all over the region of Galilee, and he was preaching with power, and people were repenting of their sins, and they were following Christ and believing in this good news. And then we saw how that after Jesus began to preach, then also he moved over to the Sea of Galilee and he called his first disciples. Jesus was going to call 12 disciples to be his closest companions, to be the ones that he would teach and that he would live before, and they would live with him and they would travel together, and he would pour his life into these men. And then after he would leave, he would use these men to go and to preach the gospel, to go and to minister. He would even give them gifts of healing. And these men that he would call would be the founders of the church, as Jesus Christ was the chief cornerstone. And we saw that he went to Galilee and he calls Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And it tells us that when Jesus called them, they followed him, teaching us that Jesus, when he calls, it's effectual. Jesus doesn't ever call and someone doesn't respond. Those that he calls, they follow. And we see this over and over again. And Mark likes to use the word immediately, or as soon as, or right when it's done. He says, immediately, as soon as Jesus does something, there's an effect, right? When Jesus says, "Come unto me," they come. When he says, "Follow," they follow. When he says to a demon, "Come out of him," he comes out of him. When he says, "Be healed," you're healed. Jesus has all power. And so everything is subject to him. And so when he calls these first disciples, they were fishermen. They were out there, they were fishing, they were tending to their nets. They were cleaning up from a long day of fishing. But when Jesus came and he said, "Follow me," it says that they left all, right? They forsook all. They forsook what they were doing. They forsook the family that was with them because Jesus was calling them specifically to follow him. Come along with me. And just to back up this calling, we see that Jesus showed the disciples a glimpse of his wisdom and power in that he told Peter and Andrew, he said, "I want you," even after they had fished all day and caught nothing, he says, "I want you to do something. I want you to take your nets and I want you to cast it out one more time for a catch." And you know, Peter, he said, "Lord, we have toiled all day and we have caught nothing." But he said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will cast out one more time." And because Jesus is control of all things, he calls all the fish to go over there to where that net was. And they caught this big catch of fish, and the boat began to sink. Andrew and Peter's boat began to sink. And they had to call over James and John, "Come help us. We're catching such a big drought of fish." And they came over, and Peter recognized that this was a miracle from Jesus. And it says that he fell down on his knees. And he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." I even doubted that I couldn't see who you are. You know, sometimes our eyes are blind, aren't they? Sometimes our minds are clouded and our eyes are blind and our hearts are hard that we can't see Jesus for who he is and we can't see God for who he is. And sometimes we forget that nothing is too hard for him. And his hand isn't shortened that it can't save. And so we need to always believe in him. Peter said, "Forgive me, Lord, for my unbelief. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." But Jesus just showed them a glimpse, a small glimpse of his wisdom and power. And it says at the end of the text there, it says, "And they forsook all and followed him." When your eyes are open to see Jesus for who he is, to see what he's done in your life, then you too will make that commitment that says, "I will forsake all things, all earthly things, all the things that I thought that I once needed or I had to have or that I loved or that I thought were going to make me happy. All those hopes and dreams that I was living for from an early age. I'm willing to forsake all those to become a follower of Christ, to submit my life to him and what his word says." We all come to that point in our life as believers. And so we see that in a glimpse of Jesus calling those first disciples. And then last time we saw how that they entered into the synagogue and Jesus began to preach on the Sabbath day. And when Jesus began to preach, those that were around, those that were in the synagogue, they realized that there was something different about this man. There was something different in the way that he was preaching, the way that he was teaching. There was power in it. There was conviction in it. There was something about it that was different, they said, from the scribes. And that's because there is something different in Jesus. He was a preacher and a teacher like no one else. He had all wisdom and all power. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was perfect and without sin. And so he was indeed different. And he said, they were astonished, it says in the text there, which meant that they were fearful. They were fearful and amazed when Jesus was preaching. And we also saw not only the power of his preaching, but we saw that he had power over the demonic spirits. Because there was a man in the synagogue where Jesus was preaching who was filled with an unclean spirit, a demon. He was possessed of him. And Jesus knew that, and Jesus saw that. And the demon was aware of Jesus' presence because Jesus has power over the evil spirits. And so this evil spirit knew he was in the presence of the Holy One. He says, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, and he simply said, "Come out." He said to the unclean spirit, "Come out." And he came out of the man. And it tells us that they were all astonished, they were all amazed, and that his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So Jesus is preaching, he's teaching, he's beginning to show his power, and his fame is beginning to spread about throughout all the region of Galilee. Now, in our text today, I love this text. Because it shows us, as many other texts do throughout Mark and throughout the Gospels, it shows us that Jesus is a gentle healer. In our text today, we see that Jesus continues with his healing ministry. He comes to the home of Andrew and Peter, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever, and he heals her of that sickness. And then we see that many come to Peter's house, and they bring people who are sick, and they bring people who are filled with diverse diseases, and even those that are possessed of demons, and Jesus sets time aside to heal them of their sicknesses, to heal them of their diseases, and heal them of their demon possession. And then we see later on that it tells us that Jesus sets aside time for prayer throughout early in the morning. Even though he has been busy, even though there are many who are still wanting to be healed, Jesus takes time out to pray and to commune with his Father. And then we see lastly that when the disciples come and find him and tell him that, look, everybody's seeking for you, everybody's trying to find you, we have many more people who need to be healed, Jesus says, listen, we've got to go into the next towns because I came to preach. We've got to go into the next villages. We've got to go into the synagogues, and I've got to preach, he says, because that's why I came. He came to teach us God's will. But let's consider some things about this gentle healer that we see in this text. Number one, we see the gentle healer heals privately. Jesus' ministry was not just a public ministry that was to be seen by others, but Jesus often dealt with people on a one-on-one basis. He often dealt with his disciples alone. He often dealt with people outside of the public sphere. And we see that happening in this passage. It says, and forthwith, which is the same word that Mark's been using a lot, euthos, as soon as, immediately, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, this house of Peter and Andrew, this will become a house that Jesus goes to a lot. It'll be a place that he stays at there in Capernaum. It'll be a house that's used, according to history, it'll be a house that's used as a place of worship for the early church. And so this would be a place that many people would know about. But it was a special place to Jesus Christ. Peter was a special disciple in the eyes of Christ. And he loved him and his household, and he loved his family. And so it says when he came straightway from the synagogue, it says they came to the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. So they've come to the house, no doubt, to probably get away a little bit from the crowd and to rest. But Simon's mother-in-law has a fever. And I love what it says in the text about Jesus. Jesus has been preaching, he's been teaching, he's casting out demons, and he comes here, and when they say, hey, look, Peter's mother-in-law, she has a fever. They know that Jesus can heal her of that. They know he has the power. They've just seen that he's able to cast out a unclean spirit out of a person. But we see this, that Jesus cares for each and every one of his sheep. And he's moved with compassion. And I love what it says. And he came and took her up by the hand. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Can you just picture in your mind's eye Jesus coming in and the disciples rushing to tell him, hey, look, Peter's mother-in-law's got a fever. And Jesus is no doubt tired and worn out. But can't you just see him? He just smiles. and he just knows what he's going to do, and he just goes over there, and he just takes her by the hand, and he just simply just lifts her up, and the fever's gone. And you got to imagine just the amazement and the astonishment of her, right? Because there's no known cure for this. There's no magical formula to be able to get rid of a fever, right? A fever is caused by some kind of other problem. It's caused by an infection in the body. And so what Jesus had to do is he had to heal the source of that infection in order for the fever to go away. And just simply by Jesus just taking her hand and lifting it up, the thing that was causing that fever was healed. And then the fever itself went away all at once. There's no power on earth like that. You can take Tylenol, you can take ibuprofen, you can take the strongest medicine that they have. It'll take a while for the fever to go down. Right? The doctors have to give you medicine in order to get your fever to go down, but they can't make it go away. Then they have to treat the infection that's causing the fever and hope that once that happens and the fever will go away. A fever is part of the way that the body tells you that something's wrong. Jesus knew what was wrong, and he just simply touched her hand, and the thing that was wrong was healed and went away. There are several things that we could learn from that. Jesus knows everything. He knows what's wrong, and he has the power to heal what is wrong. Oftentimes, Jesus doesn't do that, does he? Sometimes Jesus knows what's best, and he allows the thing that's wrong, which he could heal, he allows it for his glory and honor. But on occasion, we have seen time and time again that if he so pleases and it's according to his will, he can touch the thing that is wrong and make it go away. He can. And so we pray for that because we know he's the only one who has the power to do that. And so we pray. We pray for Sister Debbie. We pray for Lauren. We pray for anyone who has cancer or any kind of sickness. We pray for Troy. Lord, you have the power. You can just touch them. You know what's causing the problem, and you can just remove it with the snap of your finger, with the word of your mouth. But if it's not your will, help us to be resolved to it. So Jesus knows what's ailing each and every one of us, but it goes beyond just the physical, and it tells us that Jesus knows what our greatest problem is. And he is the only one who can heal us of what our greatest problem is, which is sin, right? Sin is our greatest problem. And Jesus knows each of us are sinners. He sees into our hearts. And if we are his children, then he will come to us on a personal level, and he will touch our hard hearts, and they will be changed like that. Just as he touched the hand and lifted this woman up, just in that same way, at the appointed time of your salvation, Jesus sends his Holy Spirit and he touches your heart and you're healed instantly of your sin sickness. Just as the fever went away, all your sins go away like that. Because he's the gentle healer and he heals privately. I'm glad that Jesus didn't just offer himself up to everybody and that it's not personal. Jesus died specifically for each one of his children. And he heals the sin sickness of each one of his children personally. He is a gentle healer. He sometimes takes people by the hand and he lifts them up. Have you experienced that any in your life? In any physical way? How that you were dealing with something and Jesus touched you and you just all of a sudden felt better? I've experienced that. And I know it comes from him because this is who he is. We sing the song, I love that, Jesus, hold my hand. I like to think about Jesus as one who holds our hand. We like holding hands, don't we? Our children like to hold our hand. They feel that love. They feel that protection. They feel that closeness. We like to hold the hand of those that we love. We feel that connection, that love, that closeness. Jesus heals by holding the hand. And I like to think of that. We want Him to hold our hand because it's Him holding our hand that we feel that love, that protection, that healing. Jesus, hold my hand. We want Him to walk with us. We want Him to talk with us, as the song says. Jesus, hold my hand. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately, the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. That's an important phrase too, isn't it? She ministered unto them. Those that Jesus heals serve Him and His people. That's what that teaches us. Jesus doesn't just heal so that we can then go and live our life how we want to, right? He doesn't just heal without a purpose. He healed this woman so that she could serve His people and minister unto them. This is one of Mark's other favorite words, is the word minister. The word where we get the word deacon from, diakonos. She ministered, she served them after she was healed. She didn't just joy in the fact that she was healed of this fever and then go out and do something for herself. It says that she immediately just served Him and served the disciples and was used in that way. And so it teaches us this lesson that Jesus heals for a purpose. He heals us so the fact that we can serve Him and that we can praise Him and that we can serve His people. So the reason that we ask for healing is not so people can have a better and healthier life. We pray for healing for those with sickness so that they might be able to better serve God and His people in His kingdom. And so it says, after she was healed, that she ministered unto them. Well, we could ask ourselves the question before we move on. Has Jesus healed us? Has He healed us of our sin sickness? Has He forgiven us of our sins? Has He come and has He brought healing to our dark and cold hearts? Well, if He has, then we should ask ourselves the question, are we ministering unto Him? Are we serving His people? Because that's the reason for Him saving us, so that we should serve Him and serve His people. And God help us to do that better each and every day. Next, we see not only that the gentle healer came not only to heal privately, but also to heal publicly. Jesus spent much of His public ministry in healing those that were sick, healing those that had diseases, afflictions of body, and also in casting out demons. So He is not only one who deals with us one-on-one, but He also deals with us corporately in a public setting so that others can see the glory of Jesus Christ. So Jesus has come from the synagogue, come from preaching. He heals Simon's wife's mother of a fever. And then in the evening when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Jesus is no doubt tired and exhausted. He's been preaching, He's been teaching, He's cast out demons. He comes and He heals Peter's mother-in-law. And then at the evening time, when we usually rest and relax, they start to bring all these people to Peter's house. All these people who are sick and afflicted of body and who are demon-possessed. Jesus doesn't turn them away because Jesus cares for each and every one of His sheep. And He's never going to turn away those that are coming to Him by faith, because you have to understand that all these people believed that Christ had the power to heal them. And so Jesus is moved with compassion. And I love how it says in verse 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door. I'm sure in the retelling of this from Peter to Mark that's how it felt. It felt like the whole city was around Peter's house and was gathered at the door. There were so many people there. I'm sure that the disciples were overwhelmed. But aren't you glad for verse 34? It says, and He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. So the word about Jesus' healing power had spread about the whole region of Galilee, and people were bringing sick people to him. Sick people were coming themselves, and even those possessed of unclean spirits were being drawn to Jesus. There is something about this gentle healer that would draw people to him. You know that as he would go and he would be doing something in a village, that people who were sick and who were lame, they would come and they would just try to touch the hem of his garment. They would cry out from the sides of the streets, "Have mercy upon me, heal me." There were some that were brought because they weren't able to get there. And there were some who came of their own accord. And there were some who were dragged there by these unclean spirits who had possessed them. All the city was gathered at the door. Jesus has compassion on the many, just as he has compassion on the one. Don't you love that about Christ? He's not just focused on the 12 disciples. He's not just focused on healing Peter's mother-in-law. But he reaches out and he sees this crowd of people. And he touches the many so that all can see his power and glory. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. And what it tells us about the great shepherd of the sheep is that he will leave the 99 and he will go after the one who has gone astray, and he will bring them back into the fold. So Jesus does care for the one, but Jesus also cares for the 99, right? Who didn't leave, who believed in him. He cares for the one just as he cares for the many. And that should teach us a lesson about ourselves, that we should also not just care for our family, not just care for our friends, not just care for this church family that we have, but we should also be compassionate about those that we work with, those in our neighborhood, those that, like Riley prayed for, somebody he works for, that his heart bleeds for, that his heart yearns to see, repent of his sins and fully believe and trust. That we should be that way, because that's the way that Christ is. He is a gentle healer who cares for the many as he cares for the few. And we also see that he will not give his glory to another. As the demons who knew him tried to speak his name, who he was, he said he wanted them to be silent, because it wasn't going to be them that were going to proclaim who he was. It wasn't going to be them that were going to say who Jesus was. He was going to be the one who proclaimed who he was. Jesus didn't want the devils to speak because, first of all, he didn't want his fame being spread abroad too great that where he couldn't be able to minister. So you'll see time and time again, after he heals an individual, he says, "Don't go telling everybody about this. You know, go show yourself to the priest, or just go and tell your family." But oftentimes the excitement and the joy of what's just happened, they go and they tell everybody. And what happens is a big crowd of people crowds around Jesus, and he's not able to minister like he so desires. So he tells them to be quiet, and they obey him as well. When he speaks, they listen. So Jesus is the gentle healer that heals privately. He's the gentle healer that heals publicly. And don't you know, in every one of these cases that were brought before him, all he had to do was either say the word, or he had to touch them, or whatever he decided to do, and the diseases, the sicknesses, they went away like that. Can you just imagine the excitement and the joy of that place? It must have been an amazing sight to see. So all of this happens. This was in the evening. I'm sure it went on for a long time. They've had a long night. But this is very precious, and this is very important to not miss in this text. It says in verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." after a day like he just had. It tells us about this gentle healer that he sets aside time for prayer. Jesus was divine. Jesus is divine, but he is also human. He is verily God and he is verily man, and that's hard for us to understand sometimes. But Jesus had physical limitations. And it wasn't as if Jesus could just 24 hours a day be involved in preaching and teaching and healing and casting out demons. He had to set aside time to sleep. He had to eat. He had to drink. And he had to set aside time to pray, to commune with his Father. And Jesus teaches us an important lesson that no matter how busy we are, no matter how involved in ministry that we are, we must set aside time to commune with the Father in private. We must set aside time for prayer because it is how we commune with him. It is how we re-energize. It is how we heal in a spiritual way. And Jesus will see this on three occasions that it specifically mentions him going out into a solitary place, going out where he would get away from even the disciples and the crowds, and he would commune just with him and the Father, and he would pray. You know, the disciples, they didn't know where Jesus went. You know, all they knew was this: there's still a big crowd of people here. There's many more people who have come, and Jesus is gone. Jesus is missing. Where did Jesus go? Doesn't he know that there's more people to heal and there's more demons to cast out? And Jesus teaches them an important lesson that we have to set aside time to pray. We have to set aside alone time with us and our Father. And so when they come, they say, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. They searched for him. Where did he go? And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. All these people want to know where you are, and they need you. Well, that's true, isn't it? It's true that all men need Christ. All these people certainly, I'm sure, had sicknesses and ailments and diseases that they wanted to be healed of. But Jesus understood that there was something that was even more important than healing of physical diseases. There's something much more precious than just having a demon even cast out of you. And that is spending time with the Lord. Spending time walking close. That's why there's so much said in the Scriptures about this. There's so much in the letters of Paul about spending time in prayer, right? Pray without ceasing. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. With all prayer, right? Time and time again, he shows us the importance and the need of prayer, that we spend that time alone with the Lord, even when we're busy, even when we're involved a lot in ministry and we're tired of body. We follow the example of Christ, even if we have to get up early or even if we have to stay up late. I love to see the dedication of our Savior, spending time late with people at night and then getting up the next day early in the morning and going out and praying with his Father. Sometimes we forget about the humanity of Christ, and sometimes we forget about the relationship between Christ and the Father and how that they were always communicating. He had left glory, but they were still connected, and he would always be talking with him, communing with him. So we find this as a precious truth about this gentle healer, that he is a gentle healer who prays. And what do you think Jesus was praying about? It doesn't tell us what Jesus was praying about. But I have to believe that some of his prayer was for the disciples. It was for others. It was for these people who had been healed of these sicknesses. He was praying for them. He was praying for strength for himself, wisdom for himself, to know who to heal and not to heal. And, you know, Jesus, Yes, he had wisdom, he had power, but he was also, we know, he was human, he was learning, he was growing. He's trying to do the will of the Father. He is doing the will of the Father. But I like to think that the gentle healer was praying for his disciples because he cared and loved them so much. Help them to be able to understand what I'm really about, what I'm truly about. I'm not just here to heal everybody. I'm not here just so that people can benefit from me. But I'm here to teach people the truth. I'm here to show people the way. I'm here to show people who God the Father is. I'm here. The greater need is sin sickness and them being healed of their sin, just not their physical needs and their physical ailments. Because when they come and they ask this question, you can kind of see that from them, that, you know, they see all these people and they see all the needs and they want all the needs met. But Jesus tells them, look, we've got to go into the next towns. I've got to go into the synagogues. I've got to preach. I've got to teach. He says, that's why I came, right? I came to teach. I came to preach. And so he's going to show them, he's praying for them and showing them that spiritual needs are greater than physical needs. And we've got to be reminded of that from time to time, don't we? Physical needs are important. Physical needs weigh us down. Physical sicknesses like we have going on now, they weigh heavy on the heart and the soul, but we ought not let that to overtake our greater compassion and our greater desire to see people healed of their sin sickness and of their soul diseases. And that is what Jesus, no doubt, is praying for, is for those who are sin sick of soul and who need healing in the heart. So Jesus is a gentle healer who heals. He is a gentle healer who prays. And he is a gentle healer who preaches. He says, this is why I came. So forth, the gentle healer must preach. He said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Jesus came to preach. He came to teach people the will of God, who God was, who the Father was, who He was, what the truth was, what the way to the Father was, about the kingdom of God and what it looked like. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God more than we need healing. We need to be saved of our sins more than we need to be saved from our physical ailments. We need Jesus to preach to us more than we need Him to heal us of our diseases. We need to listen to Jesus' words just as much as we need to be praying for physical ailments. Not that we don't pray for physical ailments, because He tells us to. But we need to pray for physical and spiritual healing. We need to pray that we be filled with His Word and listen to His teachings and obey His Word and obey His teachings so that we may glorify Him. Jesus, He says, He came to fulfill the prophecy that was spoken of in Isaiah, that He came, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him, would anoint Him to preach the good news, right? To bring liberty to those that were held captive. To heal, yes, but also to set free those that were in spiritual darkness. And we see that Jesus is going to do that time and time again. Well, what do you need most in your life? Do you need most health, wealth, and prosperity? No. What you need most in your life is God. You need a relationship with Christ that is true and that is real. And that goes beyond, no matter what life holds for you, whether it's riches or poverty, whether it's sickness or health, whether it's to never be known by anyone or to have fame in this world for a time. What you need most is healing from your sin sickness. You need to be forgiven of your sin. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need God's Word that is your breath and life so that you can live a life that glorifies Him. And this is why Jesus came. He didn't just come to heal people of their sicknesses. He didn't just come to perform miracles. He didn't come to just be a great teacher. He came to die for your sins. He came to live a perfect life. He came to heal you of your sin sickness. He came to teach you God's will so that you could know how to live a life that pleases Him and that glorifies Him. The gentle healer came to heal, pray, and preach. And He did all of this for you. Praise Him for His healing of your sin. Praise Him for Him praying for you as He did for Peter, that his faith would fail not. Praise Him for giving you His Word and giving you a heart to believe it, for giving you faith to believe in Him. Praise God for giving you a mind to understand His Word and understand His will. Praise Him for giving you the Holy Spirit that convicts you of sin and that teaches you the truth and that is your constant companion so that you can live each and every day for Him. Live a life of loving obedience to this gentle healer. One of my favorite songs by Michael Card is called The Gentle Healer. And I'll close with his words. The gentle healer came into our town today. He touched blind eyes and the darkness left to stay. But more than the blindness, He took their sins away. The gentle healer came into our town today. The gentle healer came into our town today. He spoke one word that was all He had to say. And the one who had died just rose up straight away. The gentle healer came into our town today. Oh, He seems like just an ordinary man with dirty feet and rough but gentle hands. But the words He says are hard to understand. And yet, He seemed like just an ordinary man. The gentle healer, He left our town today. I just looked around and found He'd gone away. Some folks from town who followed Him, they say that the gentle healer is the truth, the life, the way. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending us Your Son, who was the gentle healer, who would take people by the hand and lift them up. Thank You for sending Him as our Savior, who has taken us by the hand, who has touched our hearts, and who is leading us with a firm but gentle hand. Father, thank You for being that loving Father that cares for us, that loves us, that provided that Son for us and that Savior for us. Help us to love the gentle healer more and more in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.